This year sees the 50th anniversary of the release of the legendary Genesis album Foxtrot, and Genesis guitarist Steve Hackett will be celebrating with a 25-date tour starting September the 9th, taking in Southend, Ipswich and London. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Steve right now. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, really good. I should point out we're doing this interview on Zoom for the benefit of our radio listeners, and you look younger every time we talk to each other.
Oh, no. I wish.
let's go back a long way. Let's go back to 1971, actually. That's the year you joined Genesis. But by the end of the following year, you'd written not just Foxtrot, but two whole albums, and you'd played 159 shows in that time. You must have been exhausted.
I think recording Foxtrot was more challenged than Nursery Crime, because Nursery Crime, its predecessor, we took the whole of the summer off, because we were a new songwriting team together, and we needed that time to get to know each other and, connect all the dots up, really. But Foxtrot, yes, we were doing a lot of shows. We were busy at that time, and we were starting to become busy internationally, which there wasn't in that first year. The first year of 71, when I joined, and Phil Collins had just joined 3 months before I did, we were up and down the motorway, 2, 3, 4 shows a week in that first year, and then it really hotted up later on. So there's nothing wrong with doing an album piecemeal and starting it and coming back to it. It can sometimes make things very strong, because you get a chance to really figure out how best to craft those parts and write those songs. It doesn't all have to be done in one go. Had the influence of the Italian Palasports, where Watcher of the Skies was being written. I mean, their introduction sounded so amazing in that space, and the rest of the song really wasn't done. We had the idea of the crescendo, but that sounded extraordinary. It sort of rattled the rafters and the foundations of that place. So it sounded massive, and that was great. So, this idea of symphonic rock, none more so than when I was hearing the Mellotron roaring away with the Mellotron brass, the strings, and the English accordion as the bass for it. So it was moving a lot of air in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, I think Foxtrot, I mean, it's fair to say it was a definite progression from Nursery Crime. And to use a famous quote, do you feel that you're at last starting to strive beyond existing stagnant music forms?
Well, I think that the band delivered that in droves, and that was the challenge. That was my early intention, and there was everything to be done, of course, and there still is now. There aren't enough hours in the day to be able to encompass all of my musical dreams, but so many of them have come true. I'm very, very lucky to have been part of that band, a wonderful songwriting team and everything. So that was, it was a heady time. It was great.
On Foxtrot, your writing, of course, is all over the album, but particularly the instrumental Horizons and the beautiful Can Utility and the Coastliners as well. Were they two songs that you've been knocking around for a little while?
Yeah, I spent a long time writing that very short guitar piece, Horizons. I didn't feel any need to rush it. I wasn't a quick writer in those days, but then I'd written, parts of things, and I'd written the song part of Can Utility and the Coastliners and the lyrics. And luckily the band liked it. I'd written something in a typically Genesis style, even though I wasn't one of the originators of Genesis. You know, there was Big Shoes to Fill, which was my predecessor, Anthony Phillips, who's a lovely guy, and we're great pals these days. He wrote some great stuff with Genesis. So I wrote something that was based on the 12-string guitar, the idea of having at least two 12-string parts going at the same time for Can Utility. And then the band ran with the ball, and I think it turned into an extraordinary, like a sort of musical storm being played out in a way. There was something really quite lovely, and the sort of romance of place, and the place in question was the sea. So I think of that as a very evocative piece of music. I remember that Charisma Records, they had their offices above the Marquee in Wardour Street, London, and I used to get into the Marquee free every night because it was a bit like the canteen, you know.
Oh, nice.
So I went down, there was a guy on the door called Uli, and I heard some music, and I said, oh, that sounds interesting. Who's that? And he said, you're joking, aren't you? That's you guys. And it was the Mellotron section that follows the song bit, and I thought it sounded dynamite. So sometimes it'll wrong foot you, and you won't even recognize something you've either written or you've been part of. And that's a nice validation to have.
Yeah,
it's you.
Yeah, I mean, Ken Utility, I mean, it is a bit of a musical storm, and of course Horizons, I didn't realize until recently that you deliberately chosen the rough mix to put on the album, because I always used to hear,
yes,
you can hear the fingers going up and down the fretboard on the song, and I just thought that was a thing that happens with classical music when you recorded it. I didn't realize that it was there for the sort of the whole, it just sounded right, didn't it? It was the version you wanted to use.
It was all played in one go, and so I did four takes of that because I kept messing it up. The fourth take, I got it. I was in a sweat, and I got it. And I thought, oh, good. You know, there might be one choked harmonic on it, but I thought, oh, there's something about this, and there's something about the rough, the way it's sounding, and maybe it's a little bit noisy, et cetera, et cetera. It's probably been denoised in recent years, and what have you, but it was put through a Leslie cabinet or two as well. So you had the mixture of the acoustic sound and Leslie cabinets that usually served keyboards, most famously the organ. But Genesis, we sometimes put acoustic guitars through them. So 12 strings ended up sounding a little bit like harpsichords and a little bit like, mellotrons could end up sounding a little bit like organs, and sometimes keyboards would sound a little bit like guitars, and you couldn't quite tell the sound source. It's part of the magic, I think, of the early band. You might have to fight for the sound source, you know, not heroic, but certainly, you know, colorful, and something that I think that the Beach Boys had in common with the Beatles, the idea of getting a third instrument out of two separate ones.
I've read up a lot about early Genesis, and I've read a lot about music in general. I don't think I've ever heard of it. A Leslie cabinet?
Leslie cabinet, yeah. Well, Leslie cabinets were used at least as far back as Walt Disney. You know, when you watch the Disney cartoon, and Pinocchio goes underwater, and he's sounding like he's underwater, I gather I'm told it's a Leslie cabinet, you know, a fast Leslie. And because you can set them on different speeds, you can have the fast or the slow. Of course, Beatles used to use Leslie cabinets as well. You'd hear it with George Harrison's sound, you know, that sound on Badge that he does with Eric Clapton. That early jangle thing was often as a result of using Leslie cabinets. I was trying to get that sort of sound on Timetable, which isn't a track that most people remark on these days, but I realize how much it owed to the Beatles just in terms of sound. You know, sonically it was like the Beatles, and I gather John Lennon used to say that we were one of the bands and he considered to be true sons of the Beatles, so I'm happy to have that accolade.
It's funny, I always used to think of Timetable. I used to shut my eyes and listen to the song, and it actually sort of transports you back centuries. I thought that, yes, the subject matter and the music just seemed to be right, you know. So, you know, that was always one of the really evocative ones for me.
It's a lovely little song, and it doesn't get played much these days. And it's lovely to go back to it and relearn it and have the same warm feeling that I had when I was trying to come up with complementary guitar parts that would enhance the sound of the piano and just change it and brighten it, but give it a sort of a golden sheen, if you like. So it's very unheroic, the playing on that. I deliberately kept it I played in a very restrained way on that, but then you get moments of agitation in it, and quite pleased. There's just a little edge of distortion at one point. Just trying to figure out how to get that again, because I don't have exactly the same equipment, but I might just jump on a stomp box at some point and and get that in there, you know, with the pickup turned down probably. That's what I did. So it wasn't not full on distortion, just an edge of it for some of it.
I mean, recreating the music is one thing. It's an amazing album as well, because lyrically it touches on so many subjects. We talked about mythology and religion and science fiction as well. We're Watcher on the Skies, perhaps, and even 21st century housing policy. And I've got to say this in Essex, because there's a story there where you mentioned Harlow, which we always thought, down the road. Yeah.
Isn't it extraordinary? And I'm very familiar with Harlow Newtown because I had an aunt who lived there. And then she relocated to Basildon at one point. So there was, you know. That's in my background. It was a Peter Gabriel lyric, at Social Comment, and a very interesting lyric too. And you got that aspect of, you know, it's a serious subject matter, but then you've also got comedy in there as well. You've got a kind of almost a sort of Gilbert and Sullivan aspect, and that aspect of the actually approach that Pete had to so many of the songs and personified them live. I think there was a certain amount of Richard Harris in there as well. There's a certain amount of MacArthur Park. I know we were influenced by Jimmy Webb and his writing, and I get the feeling with Pete listening back to some of the early stuff that he was part Bard, if you know what I mean, at that time.
Bard, not B-A-R-D, B-A-R-D.
Not banned from appearing because of this, that and the other, but the Bard in terms of the spoken word as opposed to the written word, sort of declaiming, sung speech in a way.
Yeah, amazing lyrics, amazing music, and of course, as you pointed out, you're learning it all again because you're just about to go on a run of dates, 25 of them, in fact, where you're going to be playing the whole album to celebrate its 50th anniversary.
The whole of that album and some others as well. There's some solo stuff. There's some other Genesis things. I'm going to do The Knife live as well.
Oh, wow.
I haven't played that for a very long time, but I'm looking forward to getting down and dirty with that one. Yeah.
That's going to be a very popular choice, I would imagine, with people who are going to be coming along to the gigs to hear that one again.
Looking forward to it. We do that and some solo stuff that I haven't done for a long time from Voyage of the Acolyte, Ace of Wands, doing that live. We just did it in Hungary with a fusion band, Jarbia, and it worked an absolute treat. Went down a storm. They were playing at a furious pace. I was trying to keep up. change. You know, it was extraordinary. But I think when we go into rehearsals, I'll go for that original speed. You know, those young guys learning a song at 3 a.m, endless energy. That was what it was all about.
Definitely looking forward to that. How's your year been in 2022? Is it all been music, getting ready for the tour, or have you had a chance to relax, do other things?
I haven't had a chance to relax at all because since last autumn, where we were fulfilling commitments for people who bought tickets 3 years ago, I've stayed busy. I've been touring throughout the world. Just to go through the list on top of my head, there's the UK, there was the States, there's been Europe, there's been Malta, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, where else? And, you know, it's just been extraordinary, and that's not all of them. But it's been an incredible time, but I've been flat out this year. Hungary, just come back from Hungary. Bumped into Stuart Copeland in Hungary. That was interesting. He was playing the same place I was a couple of days later. And the mayor got up and played with Jarby, the fusion band. And this mayor he's a local mayor, but he's also a heart surgeon. He's a cardiologist. He runs a parrot sanctuary. So Stuart Copeland and I were talking about the parrot sanctuary. He was about to visit it. We'd just gone. So I said, yeah, my wife, Jo, and I, we've done the parrots. That'll be interesting. You'll enjoy that. Yeah.
Just in case me or any of the listeners feel like we're not doing enough with our day. You know, you're doing 300 gigs a year and other guys are running their mayor and a parrot expert.
I know. Well, the Hungarians, yeah. I mean, if I thought I was busy, I don't know how he has time to do that. And he got up and played guitar with the band. He joined in with something towards the end for an encore. It's the thing about the Hungarians is a lot of them have several different professions. They work really, really hard. They're extraordinary. I knew one guy who was a pianist who also was a dentist. And I was taught by a guy, a Hungarian, who taught me history at school. But he was also a kayak champion and world-class stuff, Olympic. And he also taught economics, incredible things. And he's been helping Ukrainian refugees, incredible stuff, letting them live in his house and finding them places to live and work and all sorts of stuff. It's phenomenal stuff. So, yeah, absolutely wonderful. I've got a lot of time for the Hungarians. They're extraordinary people.
Yes, absolutely incredible. We've got a few listeners in Hungary, actually, as well, which is so they're going to, we'll flag it up. We'll make sure that they hear all of this. That's pretty cool. Any plans for next year? I mean, what's next for you musically?
Well, Foxtrot will take up quite a bit of the year. We're going to take off 3 months, hopefully, for a house move, just to get things straight and hopefully to build a studio and all the rest. So 3 months just to pull back and let people spend time with their families, of course, because, you know, people in this band, you know, many of them have children and so, you know, it can't all be living out of a suitcase endlessly. You know, there are partners to consider and offspring and all the rest. So, you know, rock does come of age. And chaps like me are of a certain vintage, let's face it.
It's good to be busy, though, isn't it? It's always good to have absolutely, something to go. Yeah.
Steve, it's better to be busy. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure to chat. Thanks for your time today. Good luck with the live dates.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing them again.
Looking forward to doing them. Thanks, Paul, very much. As ever, thank you very much. Pleasure.